Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast hosted by Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters. A recent edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast was coming down to a close when Jeff, an overland trucker, called in with questions about whether or not purgatory and guardian angels exist. Behind his questions, however, Hank quickly discovered that Jeff was a man who struggled with committing himself personally to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ because of a long-time battle with a fear of disappointing those closest to him. He didn't want to let God down. The conversation continued off-air. Jeff behind the wheel of his tractor trailer between cities somewhere in America, and Hank behind the microphone of the Bible Answer Man studio in Charlotte, North Carolina. A conversation that concluded with Jeff in tears as he prayed in faith for Christ to be his Lord and Savior. Let's listen now as Hank patiently models how a question or objection to Christian faith can provide opportunities for sharing the love that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human heart.
Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Jeff in Omaha, Nebraska. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Hank. My question is probably fairly elementary, but I'm kind of fell out of the religion when I was younger. But I've been told on several occasions that when I had an accident or something and I should have been physically hurt, that I had a guardian angel looking after me. Does God actually charge somebody to look after and protect somebody?
You know, honestly, Jeff, I think that this is a false notion that is derived from this individualistic Christianity of our day. A failure to recognize that when you're born again, you're born into a body of believers. And yes, God does send us ministering angels to encourage us as a body of believers, just as he sends those angels to encourage us, Satan sends his minions to discourage us. So there's a sense in which an angel can interact with a human being in a specific circumstance, in the same way that a demon can interact with an individual in a certain circumstance. But the notion that we all have a little guardian angel we can shove in our pocket, I think, is part and parcel of this individualistic kind of brand of Christianity that doesn't see the kingdom of Christ being established as a body of Christ.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, I've heard it several times. And can I ask one more question?
Yeah, go ahead.
About purgatory.
Yeah.
Isn't purgatory a place where you're waiting to be judged?
Well, no. In fact, there is in purgatory payment of certain kinds of sins. They're called venial sins because mortal sins can't be expunged in purgatory. So it's a place where there's an atonement that takes place for what Catholics call venial sins. And I think the whole idea of purgatory, and I love what the Catholic Encyclopedia does because it's so honest. It points out that this is not derived from Scripture, but rather from the traditions of the fathers. And I think that's absolutely right. But the problem is we need to take the traditions of the fathers and test them in light of Scripture, because the fathers aren't infallible. The Scriptures are infallible. So you test all things in light of Scripture and hold fast to that which is good. And if you test purgatory in light of Scripture, you don't hold on to it.
Okay. All right, because I was told that that's where you're waiting for judgment. And I was like, well, then why wouldn't this be purgatory? Because technically we're waiting for judgment now, right?
Yeah, well, look, and that's exactly the issue. We have the opportunity to be covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ right now. Every single sin, past, present, future, when we embrace Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord of our life, His righteousness covers that sin completely, atones for that sin completely, so that when we stand before God, we don't have to stand in limbo or purgatory. We can go directly into the presence of God, which is precisely what happens at the return of Jesus Christ. We're in the presence of God.
Okay.
Fair enough?
Okay. Yeah, that helps. I mean, I got a million and one questions because, like I said, I was like 13 and had it forced on me, and I kind of rebelled and never really touched it again. but and I was baptized Christian when I was born, but I mean, I've never really followed into it, and until recently, I've been starting to try to get back into it. So,
well, Jeff,
I'm on the road all the time. It's hard to find a church to get into.
Yeah, a couple of things I want to tell you, Jeff. One thing is that you don't become a Christian by going to church any more than you become a hamburger by going to McDonald's. You become a Christian.
If my answer's there, then if I try to pick up a Bible, read it, and not understand what I'm reading.
Well, right, but there are some main and plain things in Scripture, and I want to just leave you with that thought. I mean, to get into Christianity is to receive Jesus Christ, because he's the entrance. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. So in biblical theology, to be a Christian means that you realize you're a sinner, you're willing to repent of your sin, and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life. And if you are willing to realize you're a sinner, repent of your sin, and receive Jesus Christ, that means that Jesus Christ will receive you, and you'll have a relationship with him for time and for eternity. And it's as simple as bowing your head with a sincere heart and saying, Lord, I realize that I am a sinner. I repent of my sin, which is to say, I make a U-turn on the road of life. I don't want to do it my own way, like I've been doing for the past few years. I want to do it your way. I want to turn and follow you. And if you realize you're a sinner, go ahead.
My Christian side of the family always told me that you're not a Christian unless you go to church on Sunday.
Well, here's what happens, though, Jeff. Once you realize you're a sinner, repent of your sin, and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you become a follower of Jesus Christ. And as a follower of Jesus Christ, you realize that you weren't born again as a Lone Ranger Christian, but you're born into a family of faith. And therefore, you want to meet with the family of faith to worship God through prayer, praise, and the proclamation. Not because if I don't go, I'm not a Christian, but as a Christian, you identify visibly with the body of Christ. You want to be part of the fellowship of believers and have oneness with them and be part of the work of the church in establishing the kingdom of Christ, furthering the kingdom of Christ through your witness and through your worship and through your oneness.
Okay, so it's not going to church that makes you, it's just doing by the commandments.
It's not the legalism that is operative here. What you do is you realize that you're a sinner, repent of your sin, receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, and when you do that, you are a follower of Jesus Christ. You are his and he is yours, and no one will snatch you out of his hand.
Okay.
And the one that saves you by his grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone will also sanctify you, which is to say, Jeff, he's going to start to change you from the inside out. You're going to be a new creation in Christ. It's not going to happen overnight, but he's gradually going to conform you to his image until the day that you die, when you're going to be perfect from a practical standpoint, while right now you'll just be perfect from a positional standpoint because you're covered by the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. And then again, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you want to identify visibly with the church. But this is not done because you're being legalistic. It's because as a believer, you want to be with other believers. That's your desire, because together you make a body. If you're just a hand, you need a foot. If you're just a head, you need a kneecap. So the body of Christ, each part needs every other part to be complete. And you start to realize that, so you desire fellowship with other Christians.
Okay.
Jeff, if you haven't received Christ, I can pray with you and you can receive Jesus Christ.
Unfortunately, I'm driving at the moment. I don't want to get too... I don't want to do anything that might distract me from driving. I mean, I got my headset and everything, but I don't know what it entails.
Well, it entails what I was talking to you about before, but you have to do this not because I'm asking you to do it, but because you want to do it.
Right. I understand that, and I do. I don't know how to explain it. I mean, I know a God exists. I know the devil exists, and I'm doing what I feel is right, like helping out other people and protecting other people and doing stuff like that. But I know I've sinned. I mean, that's a given. I mean, I smoke. I've had sex out of marriage. No kids out of marriage yet, but I'm married now, and it's just I want to do it. It's just a matter of understanding what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So that I don't fall into it blind.
Yeah. No, that's.
I've done that on several different things, and it just backfired on me.
Okay.
And I understand. This is totally different. I mean, you were talking earlier about the evolution, and I was talking with my nephew who believes in evolution, and me having know there's a God. I was telling him, it's like, all right, even if you do believe in evolution, if we all came from this ooze or whatever we came from, something had to have put everything in place for us to come out of it. And he kind of stumbled on himself and went, you're right. I said, something had to put the solar system in the exact order to where life could exist on this planet and none of the others. And he had no response to it. So, I mean, I try to do everything I can to be somewhat Christian. I just haven't followed all of his laws and done the whole saving thing or getting rebaptized. Because, like I said, it was done when I was born. I have no idea what I got into.
Yeah, well, Jeff, let's look at it this way. You took the first big step, and you spoke to someone and said to someone, I forget who you said, was it your nephew?
Yeah.
You told him that the universe is not a function of random chance. If you look at the cosmos, you know there has to be a creator. And the reason I'm recapitulating this is I went through the same process when I was 29 years of age. And then and then the next step is just looking at the fact that the God who created the universe demonstrated that he is personal by cloaking himself in human flesh. And so Jesus came into this world and he lived the perfect life that you could never live. And he offers you his perfection as an absolutely free gift. And then he took the punishment that you would have to pay, and he bore your punishment on the cross. And then he demonstrated that he was God by rising from the dead after three days.
I saw that movie, Passion of the Christ, and that's kind of what got my gears turning.
Yeah. So, and then God also gives us the Bible, and in the Bible, you have a demonstration that God is speaking, and it's not just merely men who are writing, that these are men inspired by God, because the Bible, if you look at archaeology, it confirms the details and descriptions of the Bible, and then you have prophecies in the Bible that you can never pawn off on the basis of chance or luck or good guessing. You can show that the Bible's true, and the Bible communicates this consistent message that the one who created the universe, the one who rose from the dead, is also the one who has given himself for you so that you would not have to suffer the punishment of your sins. Because, Jeff, no matter how good you try to make yourself, you can't ever become good enough. You have to come to the realization that none of us will ever be good enough. I won't be, you won't be, nor will anybody else be good enough to be acceptable to God, because God is perfect and we're imperfect. And therefore, we accept the righteousness of Jesus Christ as opposed to simply relying on our own righteousness, which is never good enough.
Okay.
That's the Christian story. So you're taking a foreign righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and it covers you. so that God doesn't look at your sin. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, as a believer or a follower of Jesus Christ, you attempt to live a life that's pleasing to Him, not to get into heaven, but in gratitude for the heaven He's already given you.
Right. I mean, the biggest problem, what are the sins that are basically unforgivable?
When we come back, Hank will answer Jeff's questions about which sins are forgivable. Hank Hanegraaff is coming to California in September. Hank will be speaking in Southern California at Newberry Park on Wednesday, September 16th at the Living Oaks Church Midweek Series on Worldview Issues from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. There will also be a question and answer session. Again, that's Wednesday, September 16th. Then on Friday and Saturday, September 18th and 19th, Hank will be speaking in the San Francisco area at the 2009 California Christian Apologetics Engaging the Culture for Christ Conference at Harbor Light Church in Fremont. For more information on how to attend or register for either California event, go to www.equip.org. When you visit equip.org, you can listen to past broadcasts of the Bible Answer Man, order products and materials you hear about on the broadcast, and get expert analysis and reliable research on cults, teachers, and religious movements in our world. It's also a vehicle by which you can contact CRI directly, either with your comment or to give a tax-deductible donation to our ministry. Again, the address is www.equip.org. Now, there's more of the Bible Answer Man on the other side of this break, so stay with us.
I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to John listening on KFAX. Hi, John.
Hello, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically-based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y, or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith.
It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Again, that's equip.org. Multitudes of Christians have been given a wildly distorted understanding of the biblical teaching about faith. In the late 20th century, Word of Faith teachers such as Kenneth Hagin and Benny Hinn were at the fore.
The Bible declares clearly that faith is a force.
In the early 21st century, they are overshadowed by a new breed of prosperity preachers with rock star platforms like Joel Osteen and Paula White.
God said to challenge the people to give $66.12 according to Psalm 66:12. When you put your faith with the word, then you have mandated results.
Hank gives hope and truth to the millions trapped in the faith movement in his landmark book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. To get your copy of Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or go online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the autographed and limited leather editions.
For centuries, two questions have challenged the Christian faith.
In a world with thousands of religions and gods, why is Jesus the only way to salvation? How could a loving God, the God of the Bible, create a world filled with evil and suffering?
Based on Lee Strobel's best-selling book, The Case for Faith examines two of the biggest objections to Christianity: emotional barriers to faith that have challenged believers and skeptics alike. The Case for Faith DVD also includes more than an hour of specially produced bonus features that will help you face the toughest questions about God and the Christian life.
Order the compelling The Case for Faith DVD from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
Bible Answer Man is here to provide the answers that people are looking for, because truth matters. Many listeners and Christian leaders have told us of the importance of these answers, like Rick Warren of Saddleback Church.
I don't know, Hank, any other program besides Bible Answer Man that brings guys on like Lee Strobel, like yourself, that really deals with these apologetic issues that people need to know, particularly in this postmodern world where people are just saying, well, there is no truth. The fact is, there is truth. We know that. And you are clearly defining and defending the truth.
The reality is, it simply takes resources to do the unique job that the Christian Research Institute does every day. So we're asking for your financial and prayerful participation. If you can make a special gift to the Christian Research Institute or join the Bible Answer Man support team, the CRI Fellowship, or the President's Council, contact us right now toll-free at 888-7000-274 or go to our secure website at www.equip.org. Let's rejoin Hank and his caller, Jeff, who is asking about the forgiveness of sins.
What are the sins that are basically unforgivable?
There are no sins that are unforgivable.
Because I have cursed his name a lot. I mean, I lost my grandmother, who I was really close to, and I lost my best friend. One was suicide. I think both were suicide, but the other hasn't been proven. And my immediate instinct was, why did you take them from me? Because they were the closest thing I had to me. And I blamed him for a long time. And then I started blaming myself because I was supposed to go to my grandmother's house that weekend, a weekend she died, but I had to call her and tell her I couldn't go because I had to go to work. And she died that day. And my best friend, I just kept feeling I should have known something was wrong. I didn't. He hung himself. And, I mean, I'm past it. I still get a little depressed over it around the time that they died. But I felt wrong blaming myself and him, knowing that, you know, it was kind of their choice.
Yeah.
But I still have an issue with bigger thing is that God knows what our fate is going to be, our end fate is going to be. Why doesn't he just have us do what we're going to do? And instead of, if he knows like that I won't be able to say, for instance, I do the save, I get saved, I get rebaptized and whatever, and I do the Christian thing for 20 years, but then I fall off at the end of the 20 years, why wouldn't he put the feeling into me that this is something that I need to do to be right with myself and him?
Okay, two separate questions. Let me answer both of them. First of all, let me put your mind at ease with regards to the unforgivable sin. The unforgivable sin is not an act. It's not cursing God, and now you've done it, and now you can't be forgiven. From a biblical perspective, the unforgivable sin is a continuous, willful, ongoing rejection of the love and grace of God. Therefore, it's not an act. It's a continuous, ongoing action. So the fact that you might have cursed God or anybody else is not the unforgivable sin. Therefore, if you want to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, Jesus Christ will not cast you off. Jesus Christ will receive you. He will forgive you. He will make you every bit whole. That's the promise of Scripture. Now, with respect to your second question, if God knows what is going to happen in the future, what your future is going to be, what your fate is, why do you have to go through all this stuff? The truth is, the fact that God knows does not mean that your future is fatalistically determined. Because you know things that happened in your past. I mean, you talked about two things that happened in your past, which are very painful to you. Two deaths that took place. But the fact that you know about those deaths does not mean that you had anything to do with the cause of those deaths. So the fact that you know something about the past doesn't mean you caused the past. In the same way, the fact that God knows the future does not mean that the future is fatalistically determined.
So he knows where it's going, he just, it's not set in stone.
He knows where it's going, but your choices matter.
Okay.
Otherwise, you could say, why wash my hands if God wants my hands to be clean? They'll become clean without me doing anything.
Okay.
So your choices matter, and that's precisely why I'm saying to you, it's important for you, if you want a relationship with Jesus Christ and then becoming part of the family of God, because you don't become a Christian as a lone ranger, but you're born into the family of God, it's important that you receive Jesus Christ as an act of faith. It's not faith that's blind faith, but it's faith in evidence. So it's a matter of realizing that God created the universe, that Jesus Christ is God, and the Bible is divine rather than merely human in origin, and that the Bible says that you can be saved not by your works, lest you would boast, but on account of Jesus Christ alone. So you simply know that you're a sinner, repent of your sin, and receive Jesus Christ, and he will become more real to you than the flesh on your bones. So it won't be a tradition that you followed, but it will be a real and vital living relationship with the God who created the universe and loved you enough to redeem you.
Okay. I mean, I've been listening to different programs on the radio. Like, I fell in love with this thing called Imagination Station, I think it's called. It's a play that, it's like an on the radio play where they do different moral situations and by the Bible and stuff like that. And the more and more I've been listening to like talk shows like yours and that program, I've been getting the feeling that it's something that I need to do. I'm happy as I am, but I've always had this. I'm not quite to where I'm not quite as happy as I could be.
Well, and there's a reason for that, Jeff. I mean, as a follower of Jesus Christ comes into your life, and he not only becomes your Savior, but he becomes your Lord, and as such, he gives your life the meaning, the purpose, and the provision that your life was destined to have. If you're trying to find for your purpose apart from Jesus Christ, it's like looking for a needle in a haystack, but when Jesus Christ comes into your life, he gives your life the purpose it was designed to have. Now, I'm not saying that he gives you a panacea where you embrace Jesus Christ and all of a sudden everything's perfect. No, you're still going to have your challenges, but Christ will carry you through those challenges.
Okay. Yeah, I remember looking at this one poem. It was an inspirational picture type thing. And it said something about there was two footprints in the sand, and then there was one. And he thought Jesus had left him, but Jesus was carrying him.
That's precisely what I'm saying. That's precisely what I'm saying. During the deepest, darkest struggles of life, Jesus Christ will carry you as a shepherd carries a lamb.
Yeah.
Well, it's your decision. I'm happy to pray with you, or you can look at the evidence some more. I don't want to try to talk you into the kingdom.
It's not that I need it proved to me, because I know in the deepest part of my heart, I know he's there. I know there's going to be something else than this. My biggest fear is, like, with my wife, my biggest fear with her is to disappoint her. And when she encouraged me to go go to school for driving the big rig, I was kind of hesitant on it because I didn't have faith in what I could do, and I didn't want to fail and disappoint her. Not only would it disappoint me, but I had the feeling it would disappoint her. And it's kind of under the same situation with God.
Right, and, but here's the thing, Jeff. That's the whole point of Christianity, is that you have to be at the place that you are right now. In other words, you can't come and say, God, I'm going to receive you, and I promise I'm going to be good, and I'm going to keep the commandments, and I will not fail this time. That's not the point of it. The point is you come as you are, and you say, God, I am a hopelessly lost sinner. I have no hope whatsoever of redemption, and therefore I come humbly to you. I reach out the hand of a beggar, and I'm receiving the gift of a king. And now you're trusting the one who loves you enough to save you, that he is also going to sanctify you, which means he's going to change you from the inside out. So it's not going to be about you disappointing him, but recognizing that he will save you and he will also sanctify you. He will transform you, and it won't be overnight. And yes, you will disappoint yourself and you will disappoint him. Because I do that. Because I'm imperfect. That's the human condition. And when I fail, I slip on board. I don't slip overboard. When I fail, I say, Jesus, I've done it again. Please forgive me. Please forgive me for that sin, and thank you that you have given me eternal forgiveness. So even though you are positionally accounted righteous before God because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, you'll still fail, and you'll have to ask for forgiveness when you fail.
If you can help me with it, a prayer or something. I mean, because I pray to him a lot. I ask him for help. But I never ask, I mean, even family, I never ask for anything except for help with a certain situation. If I need help figuring something out or whatever, I'll pray to him and say, listen, I know you're there. I know I haven't been exactly what you require of a good Christian, but can you help me figure out what I need to do in this situation? And not all the time do I get help, but every now and then I kind of like, I'll sleep on it, and the next morning I'll know what I need to do. So I was kind of under the impression that if you're not saved and you're not doing by the Bible, he hears you, but he's not going to answer you. But every now and then I get what I feel is an answer, and it's kind of like, all right, why are you helping me? It's not like I've done good by you.
Right. Well, God sends the rain on the just and the unjust. And so, you know, his overarching grace is just incredible. But as a follower of Jesus Christ, he will be the shepherd that you described in the picture that carries you through the difficulties of life and that loves you through every storm of life. Look, it's a very simple proposition. I have to ask you a couple of questions. I mean, do you believe in God?
Yes.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God?
I believe he's the Son of God.
When we return, Hank will explain to Jeff from the Bible the Christian doctrine of the Trinity and the deity of Christ. At the Christian Research Institute, our ministry is supported in so many different ways, and one of those ways involves non-cash assets. These assets include things like cars or real estate, and just as with cash donations, these gifts are tax deductible. To find out more about the types of non-cash gifts that you can donate to the work and ministry in the various outreaches of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, just visit our website at www.equip.org, and once there, click on the Donate button and then select the Give a Non-Cash Donation option. Again, that's on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Hank will be right back after these messages.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
The Mormon Church has a very wholesome appearance, so much so that many evangelicals ask, are Mormons Christians? Is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints just another denomination of Christianity? Hank Hanegraaff answers these questions in his new booklet, The Mormon Mirage, Seeing Through the Illusion of Mainstream Mormonism. Mormon prophets invite persons seeking truth to scrutinize their claims. Joseph Fielding Smith said that Mormon founder Joseph Smith was either a prophet of God, divinely called, properly appointed and commissioned, or he was one of the biggest frauds the world has ever seen. There is no middle ground. Find out the truth of Mormon teachings about God, Jesus, and eternal life compared to historic Christianity when you get your copy of The Mormon Mirage by Hank Hanegraaff right now for a gift to the ministry of the Christian Research Institute when you call toll-free at 888-7000-CRI or order online at www.equip.org.
One of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us now to pray. And he said to them,
when you pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth.
The Lord's Prayer. We can rattle it off by heart. But at the same time, how many of us now struggle in our prayer life, searching for an intimate fellowship with God?
As human beings, we want instant success, instant formulas, but God wants something else. He wants intimate fellowship.
Begin your personal, fulfilling prayer life with the Lord. Get your copy of The Prayer of Jesus by Hank Hanegraaff. Call the Christian Research Institute and order The Prayer of Jesus, 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You'll also find it on our website. Just go to www.equip.org.
Can there be any greater joy than to commune in the secret place with the living God?
Let's rejoin Hank and his caller, Jeff, as they discuss the deity of Christ and the doctrine of the Trinity.
I have to ask you a couple of questions. I mean, do you believe in God?
Yes.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God?
I believe he is the Son of God. My understanding was there was two different ones. There was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So I was under the understanding there was actually three different entities, all as one.
Well, and that's correct. I mean, the way in which the Bible describes this is that there's only one God. That Jesus Christ is God.
Okay, because all the time I hear it is that he's sitting at the right hand of God.
Right, but the Bible uses language that we understand as human beings. In other words, the Bible is communicating that which is very difficult to understand in human language. God is infinite, you are finite. So as a finite human being, it's difficult to understand the infinite God. So God describes himself in Scripture as one God, and the Bible is emphatic that there is only one God. Before me, no God was formed, says Isaiah, speaking for God, nor will there be one after me. So there's only one God, but the Bible also says that the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. So when we talk about the nature or the essence of God, we're talking about one God. When we talk about personal distinctions within the Godhead, we're talking about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and those are subject-object distinctions. So the Bible can say that the Father loves the Son, or the Father sends the Son, or the Son prays to the Father. But there's only one God, and the Bible says that all the fullness of deity dwelt in Jesus Christ in bodily form. And Jesus said to the Jewish leaders of his time, if you've seen me, you've seen God. I and the Father are one. So Jesus Christ claims to be the very one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. He calls himself the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. So biblically, there's no question whatsoever that there's only one God, but that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are God, and Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are eternally distinct. Now, I can apprehend that. In other words, I can read that in the Bible, and as I'm talking to you, Jeff, I can't fully comprehend it. It's not illogical. If I said there was one God and three gods, that would be illogical. But if I say there's one what and three who's, or one God by nature or essence and three in terms of person, it may be beyond my ability to fully comprehend, but it's not right. It's not illogical.
There's three, but they're all in one. They're all of one being.
One nature.
Three different sections.
Well, no, it's not like a pie that has three slices in it. It's one God by nature or essence, three in person. So when you talk about the nature of God, there's one God. If you talk about personal distinctions within the Godhead, there are three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Okay. I kind of get the picture.
So, again, getting back to my question, you have to believe that Jesus Christ is God, because if Jesus Christ is God, he can forgive your sins and save you eternally, but if he's not, he can't. If he's a mere human being, he can't save you.
I mean, it was all these little things that kept throwing me off. It's like God sits, Jesus sits at the right hand of God. And then again, you said it earlier, no man goes to God but through me. So I've always been under the assumption that there's three different entities. Jesus is the one that saves you, but God is the one that judges you.
Well, Jesus is your judge because he is God. God the Father is your judge because he is God. God the Holy Spirit is your judge because he is God.
Right. Now that you broke it down for me, I understand the whole setup. But at the time, I was always assuming that there was three different entities, three different things. And when everyone would say God, I would picture Jesus as Father.
Yeah.
And whenever someone would say Jesus, I would see him sitting at the right hand of God. And so it was kind of confusing. Now that you explained it, I know what's going on.
Yeah, and again, to know what's going on and to fully comprehend what's going on are two different things.
Oh, yeah, I'll probably never get that.
Yeah, well, you're going to spend an eternity in heaven understanding that.
Okay.
But again, let's go back through the steps. I mean, you got to believe that there's a God. You got to believe that Jesus Christ is God. And you have to believe that what Jesus Christ said is true. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me.
And I believe that. I believe the whole dying on the cross for our sins. And he's our guide, basically.
Yeah, but here's the point. Listen to this carefully, Jeff. Let's say you're sick right now, and you know that in your big rig, you have a medicine that could cure you of the sickness that you have. You could know it, and you could agree that it has cured others, but until you take that medicine and swallow it, it's not going to do you any good.
Right.
And that's the same thing with Jesus Christ. You can know about Jesus Christ. You can agree that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord, but until you receive him, you're not going to embrace him as your king and your leader and your forgiver.
Okay.
So you have to trust in him alone for eternal life. And that's like taking the medicine. And that's what I'm talking about. When I ask you to pray, I'm not asking you to do something magical. What I'm saying is that by faith, you are therefore saying, yes, I realize that I'm a sinner, and I thank you that you have provided a way for me to receive you as Savior and Lord, to forgive me of my sins, past, present, and future, and to resurrect me into eternal life at the end of time.
Now, is there a, like, is there a uniform way of praying? Because,
there's
like
no magic.
I kept going to, everyone did it the same way.
Yeah, there's no magic in the words, Jeff. I mean, there's no magic whatsoever in the words. It's the intent of the heart that God is looking at.
Okay.
So why don't you pray this with me?
Okay.
And again, there's no magic in the words. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I thank you that you have provided a way for me to have a relationship with you.
I thank you that you have provided me a way to have a relationship with you.
I realize that I am a sinner.
I realize that I am a sinner.
I thank you that you are my perfect Heavenly Father.
Thank you that you are my perfectly Heavenly Father.
I ask you, Jesus, to be my Savior and my Lord.
I ask you, Jesus, to be my Savior and my Lord.
I repent and receive your perfection in exchange for my sin.
I repent and receive
your perfection.
Your perfection.
In exchange for my sin.
In exchange for my sin.
In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, again, if you meant that with your heart, on the...
I started crying.
Well, Jeff, if you meant that with your heart, Jesus Christ came into your heart. You might not feel the rush of angel wings or an angelic choir, but by faith on the basis of God's word, I can say that Jesus is yours and you are his.
I lost half that one part I got stumbled up on. I started tearing up.
Well, you know, there's rejoicing in heaven as well. The angels rejoice when someone comes humbly to the Lord and says, I'm a sinner and I need your salvation. And that's what you did.
I mean, most of my life I've been told a lot of random things about him. And some of it I would believe, some of it I didn't. But the biggest thing I kept in my heart, my grandmother told me one day, I was outside looking up at the stars, and she came out and told me that every one of the stars is somebody that you, that is from your past watching over you. And that's when I first started realizing that, all right, I know that that's a little far stretch, but I know that somebody is up there kind of watching over me.
And that is absolutely right. And he's loved you with an everlasting love. And when you think about it, Jesus suffered more than any person, more than the cumulative sufferings of everyone on earth, because he loved you enough to suffer in your place so that you can have an eternity in heaven with God. Now, I want to tell you a couple of things, Jeff, before you go.
Okay.
With birth comes growth. And that's true of a baby, just like it's true of a baby Christian.
Right.
And you need to feed yourself on the Word of God. We'll send you a Bible, we'll do whatever, but you got to get into the Word of God. You got to read it.
Okay.
And you know, there'll be questions that you have, and then you look for answers to those questions, and we'll keep helping you along the way.
Okay.
And then you also need to daily communicate with the Lord through prayer. And again, just as the prayer you just prayed, there's no magical words. I mean, you're talking to the Lord while you're driving your big rig, or whether you're in your own bed, you're talking to the Lord just as you are talking to your very best friend, because that is indeed what he is. your very best friend. And you tell him the troubles you're going through and the struggles you're having, and you can be gut-level honest because he knows you fiber by fiber. The Bible says that he created you in your mother's womb, that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, that all the days ordained for you are written in his book before even one of them came to be.
Okay.
So you can speak to him honestly about whatever struggle you are facing, and mark my words, you will face trouble. It's not a matter of getting rid of the trouble. It's a matter of exactly the picture. Never forget the illustration that you gave to me, because that's a perfect illustration. He will carry you through the deepest, darkest valleys of life. He'll never leave you or forsake you.
Okay.
That's why the Bible talks about him as the good shepherd. And you're on the road a lot, but you have to find a way to have fellowship with other genuine believers. And I'll tell you, there is a day we're all going to die, but the beautiful thing in Christianity is we're all going to be resurrected. And that means we're going to live in a brand new universe, and there's going to be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. So the two close loved ones that you lost, in the new heavens and the new earth, there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. That'll be a thing of the past. You can leave your friend and your grandmother in the hands of an infinitely just and infinitely merciful God, and know that at the judgment, he will judge them just like a perfect judge would. He'll take into consideration everything, and he will make a right judgment. So leave them in the hands of an infinitely just and infinitely merciful God.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Thank you, Hank.
Hey, it's my pleasure, Jeff.
We've learned over the years that each question raised on the air represents the same concern shared by thousands of Bible Answer Man listeners. It is our prayer that in presenting this broadcast today, many listeners have become encouraged and even equipped to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those whom the Lord puts in their path. And perhaps even other listeners have prayed along with Jeff to receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. If through this broadcast you have received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, please let us know. For more information about the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff, or the Christian Research Institute, please go to our website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
Don't all religions lead to God?
What is truth?
Aren't the Bible's views on homosexuality outdated?
What's wrong with Wicca?
Teens question everything. They need real answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has come out with the Bible Answer Book for Students.
Hank took all the Q&As from Bible Answer Book 1 and 2 that are important to students and came up with real answers that make sense to us.
82 questions on topics that are on the minds of students today about God, the Bible, eternity, even social issues are covered, like stem cell research, capital punishment, homosexuality, and many others.
The Bible Answer Book for Students is perfect to share with your non-believing friends, those looking for spiritual answers, with new Christians, or for you.
The Bible Answer Book for Students by Hank Hanegraaff. Order your copy. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. It's also available online at equip.org.